You're listening to Biceps After Babies Radio, episode 320. Hello, and welcome to Biceps After Babies Radio, a podcast for ladies who know that fitness is about so much more than pounds lost or PRs. It's about feeling confident in your skin and empowered in your life. I'm your host, Amber Brzezicki, a registered nurse, personal trainer, wife, and mom of four. Each week, my guests and I will excite and motivate you to take action in your own personal fitness as we talk about nutrition, exercise, mindset, personal development, and executing life with conscious intention. If your goal is to look, feel, and be strong and experience transformation from the inside out, you, my friend, are in the right place. Thank you for tuning in. Now let's jump into today's episode. Hey, 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 welcome back to another episode of Biceps After Babies Radio. I'm your host, Amber Brzezicki, and today I am interviewing one of my heroes and a woman that I look up to so much, Tia Claire Toomey Orr. And if you're not in the CrossFit world, you may not be aware of Tia. If you're in the CrossFit world, you know her, because Tia is the most decorated CrossFit champion of all time. She has won six CrossFit Games. She did not compete in last year's CrossFit Games because, as we're going to get into, she had a baby last year, but she had won the prior six CrossFit Games. And like I said, is the most decorated, best performing, fittest woman on earth six times in a row. And she's one of my heroes. I have watched Tia compete every year that she competes in the CrossFit Games since I started CrossFit in 2019. And I mean, she was an idol before she had her baby, but then when she got pregnant and gave birth and then came back to competition, it was just like a whole new level of respect. And so, you know, because this is Biceps After Babies Radio, because we're talking about, you know, fitness even after you have kids, I thought who better to bring on the podcast than Tia to be able to talk about what it's like to be an elite athlete and have a baby and be in the public eye while you're pregnant. We talk about how people love to give you crap when you're exercising while you're pregnant during the episode. So I was just over the moon, excited to be able to have this conversation again with someone who I have looked up and respected and watched for so long. And this was just a treat and just so excited to be able to have this conversation with Tia. I also loved how this kind of played out. So just a little bit of like behind the scenes for you. So I had an interview scheduled with Tia, and she was in Australia at the time. So we kind of got our lines crossed with the conversion between Pacific time and her Australian time. And so I got on to do the recording and waited and waited and waited and waited, and she never showed up for it. She ended up emailing me later and saying, "Oh my gosh, sorry, we had our lines crossed. I thought it was one time. I was on an hour earlier than she thought she was supposed to be on. So we just missed our wires," and it was totally fine. We rescheduled, and this time she got on the call, and the very first thing she says to me is, "Hey, Shane, my husband, was supposed to be home from the gym to be able to take the baby, and he's not. So I have the baby right here. I'm trying to be mom and like do the podcast." She's like, "We can totally reschedule if you want." And I looked at her and I said, "Absolutely not." What a great experience, and incredibly relatable for so many of us who are trying to juggle all the things of motherhood and owning a business and, you know, becoming ourselves and our own fitness journeys and taking care of little ones. And I mean, all the things that you all are very familiar with. So I told her, "Absolutely not. We are not rescheduling. You can keep your camera off. You can hold Willow. You're going to hear her in the background on the recording. And I'm totally okay with that. And I hope that you are too, because that is the life sometimes of a mother, is we got to juggle the things that are important to us and who we are as individuals and who we are as people with these little humans that we are also trying to take care of." So I honestly just really love how it all panned out, because this is real life. And this is the real life of even an elite athlete like Tia Claire Toomey, to be able to get on a podcast and be tending to the baby while, you know, she's talking to me. One of the things that we talk about in the episode is that T just released a new book called The Heart is the Strongest Muscle. And I honestly love that title. And I love what she says about the title. We talk about it during the episode and why she came up with that title. But if you're like me and you're somebody who loves to learn from people who have done great things, right? I love to learn about the mindset and how someone who has done something great and has done something really hard, such, you know, as Tia has, of how she thinks about things, how she shows up, how she speaks to herself, how she pushes herself in those moments that are really, really hard. And so The Heart is the Strongest Muscle is a really fun insight into the way that, you know, an elite athlete, someone who is the best of the best when it comes to what she does, how she really thinks about her training, her body, the way that she shows up on a day-to-day basis and puts in the work in order to be able to get the results that she wants. And I think that's a lot that we can learn from her mindset. And she shares a little bit of that during the podcast episode of how we can start to integrate some of those mindset shifts and the ways that she sees the world into our own lives to be able to get the results that we're trying to get in our fitness journeys. So, without further ado, ignore my fangirling and the fact that I got to interview the one, the only Tia Claire Toomey Orr. Let's roll the interview. All right. I am so excited to introduce you to one of my heroes, Tia Claire Toomey. Tia, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, I have been so excited to be able to meet you and to interview you. I have some questions I am dying to ask you. So we're going to dive right into this. A lot of my followers probably know who you are because I've done CrossFit for a long time. I've talked about you for a long time, but in case maybe someone's maybe not as familiar with the CrossFit world, just give us a little bit of background of you and who you are.
Yeah. So I've been doing CrossFit since, I think it was actually back in 2013. And I actually started, I only just started to actually find some friends because we had just recently moved to, we just moved to this new town for Shane's work, who is my coach and my husband and the father of our daughter, Willow. And it was one of those things where initially I didn't really like the coach to start off with. So I actually didn't really, like I did one class and then didn't go back for like 2 months. And it was almost like I have to go back for just because I felt a little bit guilty. I kept bumping into the owner of the gym. So it's really fun. It doesn't sound important, but isn't it funny? Like, had I never gone back to CrossFit, I would never have had the life that I had, you know, today. So I do think back to that moment quite often and think, wow, like, man, how things could be so different. But, you know, fast forward, I did CrossFit in the hopes to make the Olympics. And then, you know, I happened to make the CrossFit Games as well. And, you know, honestly, like I was really shocked actually on how well I did at the CrossFit Games in my first year. So then I felt like I had to keep pursuing that and obviously get better. And then throughout the years, I've just tried to keep pushing the envelope essentially. And we were affiliate owners back in 2015 all the way to 2018. Then we had to sell that and we moved over here to the state. And one of the big reasons we wanted to move was actually to capitalize on where we were as, you know, an athlete. In Australia at the time, there wasn't a whole lot of sponsorship opportunities. So to really double down on that and I guess try and train full time, we made that big move to the States. And then since then, I thought that was only going to be a 12-month thing, and that has actually turned into like 6 years. So here we are in Nashville, Tennessee, you know, just opened up our brand new affiliate, which we're so excited about. And honestly, like everything that we've ever dreamed of is just finally becoming a bit of a reality, and, you know, we're living our best life.
That's so awesome. And you guys might hear Willow in the background.
Yes, I'm so sorry.
It's totally so fine. I just want my listeners to just like know that you're not the only one who like sometimes your husband says he's going to be home and he's not home and you have to you know, multitask as a mom. And so
absolutely. And I'm going to totally wring his neck when he gets home.
I told Tia, I was like, my audience will get it. If anybody's audience will get it, the Biceps After Babies audience will get it. So it's awesome. Tia, you didn't even talk about your accomplishments. So I'm going to give you a moment to brag about yourself because you don't just like compete at the CrossFit Games.
Yeah. I suppose I'm not someone to, I guess, you know, boast about that. But yeah, I've won the CrossFit Games for the last 6 years in a row. I was out last year in 2023 having my baby girl. So honestly, that's probably like my biggest highlight and accomplishment. But yeah, I've done that. I've competed at the Olympics. I have also done bobsled and qualified as sled to represent Australia in the Winter Olympics. What else? Oh, and I've also competed at the Commonwealth Games. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Commonwealth Games, mm-hmm. but
yeah.
Won gold at the Commonwealth Games, which was a lot of fun and, you know, one of the most incredible experiences in terms of my competitive experience. So, yeah, there's a few things there that I'm very, very proud of. And, you know, it's just a representation of all the hard work that me and my team have done. But, awesome. Yeah.
There we go. Now we can move forward so that everyone knows how amazing you are.
And
Tia has won the CrossFit Games more than any athlete, male or female, which is a pretty cool accomplishment. really excited to see you compete in this year's games.
Thank you. Yeah, me too.
One of the questions that I had for you, and you kind of already started to answer it, but I'd love to dive in a little deeper because one of my questions was, did you like get into CrossFit really like with this vision to like actually start competing and go to the games, and or was it something, and this is kind of what it sounds like, where you had, you know, some level of success, maybe it kind of surprised you, you realized you were pretty good at it, and then you decided that the games were the goal. And the reason I think that this question is so cool and I want to dive into it with you is because I think sometimes we set a goal for something, and for you it sounded like going to the Olympics was the goal. And it's like sometimes life, it's like this or something better, right? Sometimes life hands you something that you didn't know that you even wanted, but maybe a better route for you. And so, you know, kind of talk about that decision-making process, or where you hit that decision of like, no, this is actually something I want to go after. This is something I want to pursue. I'm actually kind of good at this. Let's do it.
Yeah. So it was really interesting because initially when I first started CrossFit, like I didn't even know CrossFit was like a sport. I just thought that it was kind of one of those, you know, F45s or just like a Orange Theory, mm-hmm. Thing where, you know, it was based on community. You got to challenge yourself in so many different ways, but like I went there, like I said earlier, to find friends. And also I am very sporty. Like I've always done sports when I was young and I'm very, very competitive. So I actually wanted to get like just improve my fitness. So Shane actually suggested I do it because he was doing it for his preseason rugby training when he played football. And so, you know, I went and tried it and I really did like it. It's just the coach at the time, he just like, I just didn't really respond well to him. So I just thought, you know, like I'm not going to go back. I wanted to try a handstand push up and he said, no, you can't do that. And so when someone told me I can't do that, I was like, how dare you? Like for me, it was more just I wanted to try it because I thought it would improve my fitness. Mm-hmm. And then when I did get into it, I was like, wow, like I'm really addicted to this because of the community. You know, mm-hmm. I've made friends in a new location that I've just moved. And, you know, I didn't have any family around, any friends. So I didn't really know anyone except for Shane. Mm-hmm. And he had joined, like I said, a rugby team. So, you know, he had friends through that. And I needed to find my own. So once I started doing that, I was like, wow, like this is really great. Like this is challenging me in a way that I've been needing for so long.
And, you know, I just, it took me like 6-7 months to really know what a snatch was. And, you know, I remember I was that member that would walk in and be like, hey, what is that movement that goes from the ground up to your overhead? And, you know, like that, like I'd have to describe the movement by like physically doing it versus like knowing, you know, the terminology of a snatch and stuff. And then, you know, not like probably about 12 months into it, I was like, you know what? Like I could, like, I'll do the open again, because actually like the first open I ever did was actually 2013. And it was like the first week that I officially signed up for a month. And so I'm learning like a snatch in the middle of a workout, and everyone's like, and I'm doing strict burpees. So, you know, and then everyone's telling me to cheat, and I'm like, I don't want to cheat. And they're like, no, it's just the way we do it here. You want to be more efficient and everything. And I'm like, that's cheating. And, you know, like I'm that one that was kind of a little bit closed-minded when I walked in. And then, 12 months later, I was like, cool, I'm going to do the open again and see how much better I am. And before I knew it, I made it to the regionals, and I was the only one in our actual affiliate that had ever made it past that. So that's when like Shane and I, we just doubled down on, you know, YouTube, and we're like, all right, like let's just do some extra training outside of the regular class. Because I think at that time too, they'd actually released some workouts like maybe a few weeks beforehand. It was like such a long time ago, but you know, we realized that there was like legless rope climbs. And I was like, I've never even done a legless rope climb, so I need to figure that out. And I worked so hard on that. But, it, you know, like little things like that, I never in my wildest dreams ever thought I would be doing much in the CrossFit space at all. It just has naturally progressed the way it has. And, you know, I owe it to like – obviously myself, but I owe it to my husband, Shane, who have supported me through every step. And it's wild. The year we took over our affiliate was the year I made it to the CrossFit Games in 2015. And prior to that, I actually, you know, I got so addicted to training, I actually hurt my back. And I had to have like basically the whole of 2014 off. So, you know, doing that was, it was quite an eye opener. And then making it to the games, it was just like, wow, like, you know, here we are like representing our new affiliate, and like all of our members are coming over and watching. And yeah, it was just wild, but so cool. Definitely not something that I had initially set out to achieve. It's just organically progressed that way.
Yeah. And I think so many like goals happen that way, where it's like you just took one step at a time, and then it was like, what's the next step? And then what's the next step? It wasn't like you started CrossFit with this dream of being, you know, an all-time greatest CrossFit athlete. You just took the next step. And I think we can learn a lot from that of setting goals. It's like, sometimes it's just like, what's the next step? And then I'm going to take the next step, and then I'm going to take the next step, and we're just going to see where this goes. And, you know, sometimes it goes amazingly. I do want to talk to you a little bit about, you and Shane, because I am always just amazed that you guys are able to maintain a marriage and a coaching relationship. Because when my husband and I try to coach each other at the gym, it is not good for our marriage. How do you and Shane make it work being married and then also having him coach you?
Girl, we have our days.
Yeah, you have to, right? Like,
no, honestly, like we are very lucky to. I suppose like when we first started dating, and this is like, my goodness, like years ago, like we started dating back in 2008, and it was funny at the time, you know, we were both in school, and I did a lot of training for track. And so I did track and cross country, and my dad, he would, you know, coach and program for me. So in a way, like I've always had someone, like I've always been, I suppose, coachable. So in saying that, like having dad there to, you know, basically help me so I'm not there, you know, running laps by myself, I, you know, I had someone there to support me, right? And I appreciated that a lot. But when Shane came into my life. My dad, he did shift work and still does. And on the days that he had night shifts, you know, it was a lot harder for him to make it to my training. So Shane ended up actually, like, you know, holding the stopwatch, and that was a form of us, like, you know, hanging out before and after school, and, you know, just, I guess, spending time together. And throughout, like, our whole life, like, I think he's always just been so supportive of what I've wanted to do. And I'd like to think I'm being supportive as well. But if I think back to, you know, the, like, over the last 10 or so years, it's definitely been like, you know, my priority has definitely been trying to win and and make a name for ourselves. And then his goal has been to help me succeed in that, you know. So I think what's really helped us along the way is our goals have aligned, in the sense of, like, you know, he's been selfless in his goal of, like, trying to evolve as a coach and, you know, help program to essentially allow me to win all these titles. And then for me, having the understanding and the respect of, okay, like, when we're in the gym, he may have programmed something that's, like, extremely hard. And don't get me wrong, like, there are days where I'm like, are you freaking serious, Shane? Like,
not doing that, Shane. Am I
doing this? Yeah, like, yeah. What the heck?
Yeah.
But, like, at the end of the day, like, I know he's not maliciously doing that to just, like, pick me off. It's,
yeah,
he's doing that to make me better. And I think just having that level of understanding has really allowed us to work really well together. Awesome. Yeah. Obviously, like, the more that we have on our plate, the harder it gets. And I think also that is one thing that's been something that we've had to recognize is, you know, we rebranded our online programming company Proven and back in, you know, 2020. And so when that came into the picture, and then, you know, employing new people and, you know, expanding that provided, like, a whole nother level of, I guess, things to focus on, right?
Yeah.
So then, like, juggling that and having that happy balance of finding time for ourselves as husband and wife, finding time and making sure we're keeping our priorities right in winning the games as coach and athlete, but then also running a business. And now with Willow in the mix, I mean, ever since Willow's been in the mix, like, oh, man, sometimes we're like, why didn't we do this earlier? You know, it's one of those things that it's definitely not easy.
Yeah.
But we like, look at her on a daily basis and just, like, realize how lucky we are, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just, it's crazy. Like, you know, some people may find, like, I know through COVID was a really hard year for some people. And, you know, for us, it was almost like what our life is always like, because we're kind of like, you know, eat, sleep, train, repeat.
Yeah.
so, you know, that COVID wasn't necessarily a huge change for us, but, you know, like, the amount of people that we were surrounded with were very limited.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know a lot of people that were like, you know what, I just couldn't help but just need time for myself. And I was like, man, I think I fell more in love with Shane throughout COVID. Mm-hmm. But it's just one of those things, right? Like, always being able to communicate. And I definitely let him know when, you know, I'm about to burst. But
too much,
yeah,
Shane.
having that ability to communicate is really important, and I think it's helped allow us to be able to do what we do.
That's awesome. It's really great. So I've had four children, and, you know, I've exercised through my pregnancies, and I got a lot of well-intentioned people, you know, questioning my choices to do so. And I have to imagine being an elite athlete and then being pregnant last year, you got lots of more input from people, like, trying to tell you what to do. Like, what was that experience, and how did you handle it?
Yeah, I definitely got a lot of hate, didn't I?
Yeah, I can only, because I got a lot of hate and nobody knows who I am.
Oh, no, it's not nice, is it? And it definitely makes you, it does, it makes you question, like, who you are as a person, and, like, you know, some comments can be so nasty. You're like, wow, like, am I really trying to jeopardize the life of my being, my baby, right. You know, like,
yeah,
that is definitely not my intention.
Yeah.
But one thing that, you know, and I've got to give the credit to Shane as well, is like, it's crazy because he was like, Tia, like, are you happy? And I said, yeah, like, I'm the happiest I've ever been. Like, when I was pregnant, mm-hmm. oh my goodness, like, I was so incredibly happy. I was so relaxed. I was, you know, like, I guess for the first time in many years, like, my whole purpose was so, I guess it was meant to be so intense because I was training to win a world championship. So, you know, training, like, it was so purposeful. I needed to be like so dialed in and focused on absolutely everything I did. And you know, when I'm relaxing, I'm resting on rest days, but really, like, I'm still on focusing on like my goal, right? Mm-hmm. So when I was pregnant, it was like the first time I walked into the gym and actually like, oh, this is fun. Like, yeah. This is so enjoyable.
Yeah.
And it, like, moving the body. So I actually didn't really move the body a whole lot, purely because a lot of people are like, oh, you shouldn't exercise and everything like that. But also, you know, like, the first trimester, I didn't really know I was pregnant at all, but I thought, oh man, I must have like adrenal fatigue or something, because I definitely don't feel great.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until like I found out I was pregnant, I was like, oh, like, that all makes there it so is. Much sense. Yeah. Wow. Okay. And then, you know, I actually didn't really do a whole lot. Like, I went for walks and stuff. And I stayed active in terms of like, you know, just doing everyday stuff. But in terms of exercise, I really didn't do very much. And then it was like maybe halfway through my second trimester that I was like, you know what? Like, I think I need to like change things up just to feel something, you know? And I still enjoyed, you know, like my first and second trimester, but it wasn't until I actually started exercising and, you know, going into the gym and doing whatever I wanted. So if I was like, you know what, I want to just do air squats today and bike erg, I'm going to do that. Like, that, it was just so good to move. And I felt so good afterwards. Like, man, it was, I just thought, you know what, stuff these comments, and also to share it on social media. It actually got to a point where I was like, I'm going to share it more because people are having a go at me more. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, of course I'm not out there trying to harm, you know, my child. Like, that's just the fact that people would even suggest or even think that is just disgusting. So, like, I just had to remind myself, like, everything that I'm doing is actually for the health of my child.
That's right.
Has nothing to do with my ego. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't give two shits about, you know, where I was placing in the Open. The only reason I signed up to the Open last year was to create points so that this season I didn't have, like, I wasn't so far down because I, you know, didn't do anything.
Yep.
So, like, you know, people just don't know the full story and, you know, make comments about how they want. And I think as a person that's trying to, you know, do the best thing for themselves, I think it's important for you to understand, like, remind yourself that these people don't know what your goals are. They don't know how you feel on a daily basis. And, you know, had they realized how great the exercise was making me feel, like, people would say, oh, wait until your last 4 weeks of your pregnancy. And some people, or some women may actually resent me for comment or saying this, but I genuinely got to the last 4 weeks of my pregnancy. I was like, man, I still feel so great. Like, does that mean like I still haven't, like, I'm yet to like get to my last 4 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
So like, I couldn't have had a better pregnancy. And I get that, like, not everyone has those experiences. Like, some of my best friends in Australia just had their first child themselves. And the poor girls, like, they weren't as lucky as me and didn't have as great of a pregnancy as what I did. So, like, you know, I'm so thankful and so grateful that, like, I was able to have such a pleasant experience. And I put that down to listening to my body on a daily basis and doing what really made me feel good. And, you know, eating it, like, I basically, like, just ate, tried to eat as clean as possible. You know, I still definitely indulged, but I just had such a great time really staying in tune with the body and giving it what it felt like. You know, the first trimester, all I wanted was scrambled eggs. I just didn't really feel like anything else. So I just constantly ate scrambled eggs. And it's just so crazy, you know, like, but
that's so good.
Those comments, you know, like, there's always going to be haters. And I sometimes say to myself, oh, I'm obviously doing something right if I have haters, you know?
That's right. That's so, exactly right.
Yeah. Like, it's just about surrounding yourself with good people too, that support you and love you for who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And you said something that's so important. And that is that, like, the best thing for baby is what's the best thing for the mom. And I think that carries out throughout your pregnancy, but then also through as you're raising this child. And so many moms think that the best thing that they can do for their baby is just, like, sacrifice themselves and do everything and put them first. And I really try to help women to understand that, like, no, best thing you can do for your child is doing things for yourself, because then you're a better mom. You're better able to show up. Happy mom, happy life, right?
Absolutely.
It's so important. I watched you deadlift over 400 pounds beltless at Rogue. And I'm telling you, that was one of the most inspirational things I have ever seen in a long time. Like, the whole beltless thing was just, like, crazy to me. Over 400. And I have to imagine you're having some of those experiences of, like, there's, like, you know, pre-pregnancy PRs, and then there's, like, these post-pregnancy PRs when you, like, hit something post-pregnancy. And what does it feel like to have those, like, post-pregnancy PRs again?
Well, I think for me right now, because I'm trying to get back, like, I am trying to win the CrossFit Games this season.
Yeah.
And so there definitely have been a lot of times where I'm like, wow, like, this is great. Like, this is, like, the heaviest I've gone. Like, I'm seeing progress and I'm like, so happy. And, like, I'm just, you know, like, I'm over the moon because, like, the body is finally starting to feel like its old self, right?
Sure, yeah.
But I also need to make sure, like, okay, like, this is not the end goal. Like, my goal is to win and, you know, stand on top of the podium at the end of the season. And so in order to do that, I need to be hitting X and that type of stuff. So a little bit of what I was so happy about, you know, when I was pregnant and, you know, not putting that pressure on myself and everything. Now I've gone back to having that, you know, pressure that I've put on myself, having that expectation, you know, and it's just a part of the job, right? Like, and everyone does this differently, but this is just how I do, like, this is how I achieve my goals. And so, for me, like, I am trying to embrace, like, the process and progress, but I must admit I'm very caught up in it's just not good enough just yet. And so, you know, some people can argue whether or not that's like a good thing or not, but it's just what works well for me because it just makes me check in and ensure I'm not getting complacent, you know, and I'm pushing my envelope a little bit. But it's really interesting, you know, like Rogue, like I definitely, that was like a really big, ask of myself to like bounce back that quickly. And, you know, in terms of like my health, it was fine. Like I was completely healthy. I was completely fine. Was I competition ready? Not at all.
Yeah.
And that was fine. Like I knew that going into the competition, but I had to be okay with that because I knew that going to Rogue was a part of the process of setting me up for success this season.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really walked away feeling like I had won a lot, you know? So
the feeling that I want to, like when I finish Rogue, is the feeling that you're talking about, you know, like those postpartum PRs and stuff.
Yeah.
That was like, heck yeah, I far exceeded my expectations. Is there a lot that I learned? Absolutely. Like I've got such a long way to go, but you know, I couldn't be more proud because not just me going out there on the competition floor, but doing a major competition with Willow, breastfeeding Willow, my mum and dad helping looking after Willow and making sure she was absolutely happy and okay throughout the weekend. Shane, you know, Shane having to be a dad and also, you know, prioritize me, like all these things that we were just learning as we were going throughout the weekend. And I just was so excited and proud of how we went. And, you know, little Willow, she just absolutely crushed it. And yeah, it was really cool when she got to come and like, obviously she's not going to ever remember it, but I'll remember just going out on the floor and being like, wow, she's watching, you know?
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah. I know mindset, and you've kind of talked a little bit about your mindset, so I'd love to like dig a little deeper with you. Mm-hmm. That mindset is a huge part of what you've been able to accomplish. So yeah. when you think about this word mindset, like how do you define that? And how do you really train your brain and your mind to have these like peak performances?
Yes. So basically when it comes to mindset, like there's different ways to skin the cat, you know, we all know that saying, and I think it's really important to understand your why to start off with, you know, like
yeah.
why are we doing what we're doing? You know, why are we trying to be the best mom that we possibly can be? Why are we trying to go out after that promotion that we've been trying to for years now? You know, like what are we doing to make ourselves feel fulfilled, feel happy? You know, what is that why? And that why changes. Like, you know, sometimes I've had to keep just pushing through the season to understand truly what my why is.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't always come to me straight away, but yeah. it's also changed throughout the years. So when I very first started, and it's quite ironic because we've come full circle now, but I literally said to Shane, like, I want to pursue this. And it was like, I want to go to the Olympics and I want to pursue this CrossFit journey to have memories to share with our future children.
Mm.
And now, like, we have, like, a little 9-month-old baby that is like almost days away from taking her first steps. And I'm like, man, like I've literally like created like this like little journal over the last few years that I can show her proof of what's truly capable, what the human can do, you know? Mm-hmm. And if that's for her, that's like being the best pianist like in the world, or, you know, being an artist and, you know, doing, I don't even know really that world very well. So like, you know, being the best in the world at art or whatever it might be. Like if I could do what I did, then she absolutely can do what she did. And like, it gives you like a little bit more belief because, you know, you can kind of see it firsthand. I've kind of gone off a little bit of tangent here. I'm so sorry. I tend to do that. But basically, like understanding your why and doing that. And then for me, getting your priorities in check. So, you know, we all have busy lives. You mentioned you have 4 kids. You know, we have Willow now, and I'm trying to win the CrossFit Games. But is the CrossFit Games, you know, my number one priority? No. Was it before Willow? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, you know, before Willow, I also like love Shane and, you know, another priority of mine was Shane and my relationship, you know? So there, you can definitely have a balance in trying to be the best in something mm-hmm. as well as, you know, maintaining a relationship. And so, because that's the way I look at it, I definitely think that I can be the best mum that I possibly can be,
mm-hmm.
but also win the CrossFit Games. And
I said this to someone the other day, you know, like sometimes I just feel a little bit guilty that I'm, you know, at the gym all day and I worry that, you know, maybe I'm not giving enough time to Willow. So it does that. There is a challenge there, but everyone in a way goes through that because, you know, we all have to work, you know, people have a 9-to-5 job. They have to go to a job to make a living so that they can actually, you know, pay for things that their kids want to do in the future. And and it was interesting. He said, oh, I don't think it doesn't matter what you do. I think you'll always have that little bit of a parent guilt regardless of what it is because, you know, you always think, oh, I should be doing more. And so that was really fascinating for me to hear because I was like, yes, that's actually really interesting that you say that because like how you, I guess, interpret things, how you think of things, like as long as you get your priorities or you understand your priorities, then that allows you to have a better balance and allow you to, I guess, well, prioritize the important things in life.
Sure. Yeah.
And then that helps you not get overwhelmed. And when you don't get overwhelmed, then you can kind of think easier and you know, kind of align yourself. And I do talk about a lot of these things in my book, like the mere fact of like finding momentum and, you know, like motivation, it's almost like a temporary thing. You know, you may listen to this podcast or you could watch a hype reel on Instagram and, you know, you get really motivated. And that might motivate you for your training piece that you have today. Mm-hmm. But what we're trying to really aim for is creating that momentum to just keep pushing forward and you know, not just rely on that motivation. Mm-hmm. We want to create habits that are allowing us to just keep putting one foot in front of the other and knowing like, hey, what I do today is going to pay off and it's going to help me tomorrow, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you said something so important about the why that I think I really want to emphasize for people who are listening. And what you said is that like your why has evolved, right? It like sometimes it takes a while to kind of find your why. And so for people who maybe are in the process of reaching for whatever their goal is, and they're trying to find that why, what advice do you have about discovering it or about allowing it or about figuring out what it is that is really driving you?
Yeah. So I think for me, what I do is I try and think of like what's going on in my life, you know, like, so for example, like this season. So we just opened up our affiliate and here in Nashville and, you know, creating like that community has just been like so exciting and so exhilarating because, you know, you got new people coming in to try CrossFit for the very first time. We've had like people dropping in, you know, traveling from all over the world. And that there is just like, it's so great because, I mean, I just love meeting people, but I also love seeing people achieve their goals. And I also love helping them whenever I can. So, you know, having that ability to have that. So for me, like I know like, okay, cool. My why, like amongst obviously having Willow and trying to be and show her like her mom is freaking a badass, but also is capable of doing some incredible things. I also want to be able to help people around me too. Like I want to create like an environment that helps people achieve their goals. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm training, I've literally like, I'm surrounded by that reminder and I see people like putting their best foot forward and kind of struggling along the way and being like, you know what, this is a part of the process. Like I get it. And so when I surround myself with that, I'm constantly reminded of my why. Mm. And, you know, every year, like I mentioned, it's slightly changed, but so is my surroundings. And so when you know what your goal is And you know, some people may take a little bit for you to understand what your goal is. Yeah. But once you understand what your goal is, and, you know, it could be big. It could be like a 2-year goal. It could be, you know, a next month goal. It could even be simple as like just trying to find that balance in life. And so you have like daily goals that you try and hit to win the day.
Yeah.
It really depends on the person. But once you understand that goal, then you try and surround yourself with people that are like-minded. Mm. Because when you surround yourself with people that are like-minded, like I was saying before, you're constantly reminded about that on a daily basis. And then that allows you to really understand and be reminded of what your why is. And so for me, like, I have a few different whys that I lean on. Obviously, and I think it goes without saying, like my absolute why in life is just to make sure that Willow is happy, is healthy, you know, and then like also having like a happy husband, like seeing Shane, you know, happy and living like the best days of his life is just so rewarding as well. But then walking into our gym and being surrounded by people that work for Proven, but also that come and visit Proven and are pushing themselves and learning and, you know, evolving as humans, like that's also a really incredible like reminder for me as well. And so that's how I've done it over the years, is just like surrounding myself in environments that are a constant or daily reminder, but also that allow you to just know like, hey, you're not the only one in it, you know, like there's everyone else is like struggling. Everyone else is out there giving it their best efforts. And if they can do it, well, then so can you. And that's definitely helped me throughout my journey. And it's going to change, you know, like sometimes you may not have that environment to surround yourself in, but then that's where you put up little sticky notes around the house to remind you, or, yeah, you know, that's where you can kind of like read some self-help books. Like I never really loved reading until I realized like I needed to read to kind of find, or I guess settle my thoughts. And it's a little bit like journaling. Mm-hmm. But I also found reading really beneficial too, to help keep me on track and you know, remind me of not things that were like, oh my God, like I've never thought of that, but just like, oh yes, like that is exactly how I felt, but I've never really been able to put it in words.
Yeah, it's so good. You talked about surrounding yourself with like the right people and how it's easier to do hard things when you're surrounded with people who are also doing hard things. And it just makes me think of like the beauty of the open, of where we're going through these workouts. Everybody knows it's going to suck. We're all miserable, yeah, but we're doing it all together. And so it becomes like a party of miserable people doing really hard things. And it's like, yeah, it's my favorite thing. And I love that. Tell me a little bit about how you feel about like excuses, shortcuts, hacks, like procrastination. Talk to me about your mindset around those things.
Yeah. So that, I mean, excuses are just ways for people to feel good about themselves and why they're not keeping themselves accountable. Right. And that's just the way it is. You know, and like, man, I even catch myself doing some excuses every so often and I'm like, fire out to you, like pull your head in, like that's just an excuse. Like there's no reason why you can't go and do this or you can't go and do that. And, you know, and I'm not talking like this isn't just in training. This is in different facets of my life, right? And so like when you come up with excuses, you really are just trying to make yourself feel better for why you aren't going out after your dreams. And you know, like it's just the way it is. If you're okay with it, then like I think you just got to ask yourself, like, hey, am I living up to my expectation? Mm-hmm. Right? you know, am I happy? Like, what are my goals? Like, what do I want to achieve in life? Am I, you know, financially stable and am I happy with that? Am I living a happy, fulfilling life? Like, every time, like, if I think back throughout my years, you know, there was a period there where financially we just really needed to like double down and try and make some money. And, you know, Shane, he supported us throughout our first few years of being a competitive athlete because, you know, I just wasn't getting the sponsorships. And you need to, in order to come over to the CrossFit Games from Australia, like it costs thousands and thousands of dollars. Yeah. You know? And that's just for the CrossFit Games. That's not for like the throughout the season. So it's like, okay, yeah, like a huge priority had to be like financial and we really needed to focus on money. And then like throughout that, of course, like finances are always going to be a huge portion of people's lives because in order to like eat and do all that, you need to actually afford your groceries and stuff like that. So that's just like a reality. But as I have progressed and also as I've tried to evolve as a person and even as an athlete, I've really tried to double down and I really tried to double down and like find happiness because it wasn't until I was pregnant that I was like, wow. You know, and I said this before, like I really enjoyed walking into the gym versus like just dragging my feet thinking, oh great, like I'm gonna have to sell myself today and there's a purpose behind it. So like it really does come down to the person and what they want to achieve in their life and what's really going on deep down inside their life. But they have to have that hard, like have that hard conversation with themselves to determine like, hey, am I procrastinating? You know, like, am I making excuses on why I'm not achieving something? And even if you have to also talk with a friend or, you know, sit like a psych or someone to give you that hard talk, you know, those people are the people you do want in your life because they're the ones that are going to give it to you straight. And
that's right.
You always want to have like yes men in your life.
That's right. Okay. You're super strong, right? We talked about the 400-pound deadlift, the beltless deadlift. But the title of your new book, which I love, is that the heart is the strongest muscle. So as somebody who has very strong muscles in the other parts of your body, why is that the title of the book?
Yeah. So, because the way I see things and the way I see how people live their life is like you know the expression like wear your heart on your sleeve, you know? And you can see someone like when they're really trying hard, like you'd say like, oh wow, like that person, you know, he's really wearing his heart on his sleeve, you know? And when I was growing up, like my dad would always say, Tia, you know, you're so fit. You're so ready for this like CrossFit competition. Sorry, it was cross country at the time. So you're so ready. You've trained hard. You are, you know, you've done the work. And regardless of the result, I just want to see you. I want to see how big your heart is. So when, you know, the time is tough and you've really come to that, I guess, crossroad in your life. And it comes back to those excuses, you know, like when you're making up those excuses, you're procrastinating on something and you're going to ask yourself, like, do I really want this? Or, you know, do I really want to dig a little bit deeper just to get a little bit further ahead? And I really felt like through that, like that's where you see how big someone's heart is. And so my dad would always say like, you know, show me how big your heart is, Tia. So when you're like, you know, three quarters or at halfway on that cross country track and you're like, shit, like I've still got halfway to go. Like I'm really hurting. I know everyone else is hurting, but can I just dig a little bit deeper in, you know, that's kind of like the question of like, you know, how badly do you really want it? And that shows, you know, how big your heart is, because the bigger your heart is, the harder you're going to try.
Mm.
And, you know, the more you're not going to create excuses, you're not going to procrastinate over something. And I thought that that was just such a fitting title for the book, because, you know, we can all be strong, we can all be fit, we can all do that, but not everyone has a big heart. And, you know, it's actually about seeing how good you can really be, or, you know, just be how, see how proud you can really get on trying to achieve something, you know?
Yeah. That's so good. Yeah. And I'm super excited to read the book, because like you said, you know, reading, about people you want to become like, or reading about people who have been super successful, I'm always curious about how do you think about things, right? What are you telling yourself when you go to the gym and you don't want to do it? And being mm-hmm. able to see that modeled in this book, and be able to help us apply some of those winner mindsets that you have, and be able to apply it to our journey. I'm super excited about the book and what you've written. Okay. Last question. And this is just like a quick question. I want to know if you could program like your favorite workout, and a workout that you would look at and be like, yes, I'm so excited to do that workout. Like, what would those movements be? What would the structure of that workout look like?
See, this is a hard one for me, because I like a lot of movements, but, yeah. You know, some of the staples that I really like are like double unders, GHDs, ring muscle ups, and, you know, maybe like a three grounder, like mm-hmm. something like where you can really just go for it. You mm-hmm. don't have to like take it out. Yeah.
I love it.
But they're probably like, you know, three good movements that I think have nice variety.
Mm-hmm.
The GHDs may make the muscle ups a little bit challenging, but, you know, you can still push through. And yeah, I just realized I have a lot of body weight movements there. No lifting,
which is so funny, because you're so known for your lifting and your snatching.
I know, I know. That's Tia, always throwing a spanner in the works.
I love it. Well, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for your time, Tia. Is there anything else you want to say about the book to kind of promote it or help people want to read it? I'm so excited to read it. But just tell us a little bit about the book and where to find it.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you guys are on Instagram, you can easily get it through the link in my bio. But yeah, if I guess like the reason I wrote this book is purely to help fast track people in their life. And, you know, there's like 10 chapters where like I talk about in depth, like basically everything that you asked me, and like understanding like your why and how you go about this. And, you know, I put in these, I guess, you know, tools is what I've been calling it, is like, here are these tools that I've applied and I've learned that have contributed to my success and learning how to overcome adversity and facing these obstacles and, you know, kind of embracing them versus like being feared from them, and, you know, how to overcome failure. And, you know, we get scared about failing in things, but how to embrace failure is really important. And so understanding that, being okay with that, surrounding yourself with good people, like all this good stuff that we hear about, but we're not sure exactly how to apply it. Like I go into depth about that. So if you don't like reading, that's fine. Like I actually actually read my book on audio, so people can actually hear me read it. But yeah, it's something that like I'm very, very proud of, and I have found a lot of benefit from these tools that I've applied throughout my career. And I just hope that they help people, regardless of what they're trying to achieve, to go out there and absolutely smash their goals.
I love it. That's so awesome. And we will link all of that up in the show notes. We'll link out to the book. So if you're wanting to pick it up, you can, and you can read all about the tools that Tia uses to be able to be a 6-time CrossFit Games champion. And thank you so much for coming on, Tia. Good luck this year with the Open. I will be watching the games and I can't wait to see you compete postpartum. Like, you're doing it for all the moms and I'm so super excited.
I know. Yeah. So someone messaged me and was like, man, how cool would it be being like the fittest mom in the world? Like,
right? And I was like,
man, that's a freaking sick title.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, I am rooting for you and Willow's rooting for you. And I know Shane's rooting for you, but I'm very excited to see what you do.
Thank you so much for your time. And I appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks so much. What an amazing experience for me to be able to speak face to face with someone who I really admire and look up to and have just watched from afar and watched her just absolutely crush CrossFit, absolutely crush workouts, absolutely, you know, do the things that she sets out to do. Her mentality, her focus, her drive is unrelenting, and it's just such an honor to be able to interview her and be able to bring her onto the podcast and share her with you. Because I know some of you are CrossFitters and you probably know exactly who Tia Claire Toomey is. And some of you are not in the CrossFit world and you may have no idea who she is, but now you've been introduced to her. And like I said, we will link up in the show notes. So if you go to bicepsafterbabies.com/320, then we'll have all the show notes there and we'll link up to her book if you're wanting to dive more into learning about her, about her mindset, about how she thinks about the world, how she trains, and how she's gotten to where she is today. That wraps up this episode of Biceps After Babies Radio. I'm Amber. Now go out and be strong, because remember, my friend, you can do anything. Hey friend, have you heard the news? We have a Biceps After Babies Radio insider list. If you love Biceps After Babies Radio, you don't want to miss a thing. Head to bicepsafterbabies.com/insider to join the group. You'll be the first to know all things about the podcast, see some behind the scenes, and get special messages from yours truly. We want to make this a special community for those who are fans of the podcast. And last, did this episode particularly resonate with you? If so, will you please share it? Either send the link to someone who would find it valuable or take a screenshot and post it to your social media and tell your family and friends why they should listen. Make sure you tag me at Biceps After Babies so I can hear your feedback and give you a little love. And you know, if you aren't already following me on Instagram or Facebook, that's the perfect time to hit that follow button. Thank you for being here and listening to Biceps After Babies Radio.